الله والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله في كتابه ثلاثة الأصول: المرتبة الثانية الإيمان، وهو 72 شعبة.
لحظة أخوي، السلام عليكم.
أحمد. طيب. الإيمان وهو 72 شعبة، فأعلاها قوله لا إله إلا الله، وأدناها إماطة الأذى عن الطريق، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان، وأركانه 6 كما في الحديث: أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر، وأن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. والدليل على هذه الأركان 6 قوله تعالى: ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب، ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين. ودليل القدر قوله تعالى: إن كل شيء خلقناه بقدر.
حسب قبل القدر، قل الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، نعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له، واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله. اما بعد، بعد ان عرف الاسلام شرع في تعريف الايمان، والايمان والاسلام عبادتان للرحمن سبحانه وتعالى، ولكن الإسلام إذا أفرد في نص واحد فإنه يعني الدين الظاهر كالصلاة والصوم والزكاة، ويدخل فيه أيضا الإيمان وهو الدين الباطن، الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله وبكل ما قوله الله ورسوله من أحوال الساعة والحياة بعد الموت والعرش وغير ذلك. هذا الإيمان إذا أفرد في نص واحد. أما إذا قلنا مع الإسلام كقوله في الإنجيل ما الإيمان ما الإسلام، فالإيمان كما ذكرنا حينئذ ينصرف للدين الباطن، والإسلام للدين الظاهر. أليس في نفس الحديث الذي ذكره ما سويا من حديث جبريل لما عرف الإسلام عرفه معنى الظاهر، ولما قام بنص في نفس النص مع الإيمان عرفه معنى الباطن، وهو بما أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته ورسله. طيب، لكن لما جاء أفرد الإيمان في حديث وفد عبد القيس في صحيح مسلم في صحيح البخاري، قال تقولون الإيمان أن تسأل الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة، أو كما قالوا تعطي الخمس من المغرب، فترى ذلك كما قال الراجل الغيار أنما نفضان إذا اسمان إذا اتفقا في نص واحد اختلفا في المعنى فصار الإسلام بالظاهر والإيمان بالظاهر، وإذا افترقا ذكر كل واحد منهما في نص دخل أحدهما في الآخر. الإيمان هو في اللغة كما ذكرنا في الدرس الماضي التصديق، وفي الاصطلاح هو قول باللسان وتصديق بالجنان وعمل بالجوارح والأركان. فهذه الثلاث نعم ركن في الإيمان، فلا ينبغي الإنسان أن يعرف الإيمان بقول اللسان وتصديق الجنان، لا بد أن يدخل الأعمال، فإن أخرج الأعمال صار على دين المرجئة، لأن قال الإيمان قول باللسان وتصديق بالقلب أو اعتقاد بالقلب، صار إلى قول مرجئة الفقهاء الذين قالوا الإيمان لا يشترط فيه العمل بل أخروه عن الإيمان. فقال ممكن الرجل يكون مؤمن بتصديق بقول اللسان تصديق القلب، وهذا خلاف الحديث الذي بين الحقيقة الشرعية للإيمان. وهذا الخلط وقعوا فيه لأنهم لم يعرفوا الإيمان على وفق ما جاء في إجماع أهل السنة ويقرأ الشافعي، وأنه قول وأنه قول وعمل. الحديث الذي خرجه مسلم في صحيحه أنه إذا نصبت مشاهدة على أخرى إلى القعد لا يقع على أخريه، والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. بل عرفوا الإيمان على وفق بعض الأحاديث التي يعني التبس عليهم في الأمر. نعم، كمثلا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخرج أقوام من النار لم يعمل خيرا قط، هذا من المتشابه، لم يعمل خيرا قط. فاحتمل أن ما يمكن من العمل أن العمل على أعمال قليلة تبوغ أنه لم يعمل خيرا قط، كالذي خرج من بلده يسعى للتوبة وسعر وتقاخر يسأل العلماء، فهذا عمل. ومع ذلك قالت الملائكة ملائكة العذاب أنه لم يعمل خير قط، فهذا محمول على المبالغة، هذا محمول على المبالغة. نعم، فإذا احتمل النص رجع المحكم، ما هو المحكم؟ إجماع السلف المقول عنه، والحديث الذي عرف فيه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان كما في صحيح مسلم قال الإيمان بضع وسبعون أو قال 60 شعبة على قول لا إله إلا الله وما هي على الطريق والحياء شعبة من الإيمان. هذا التعريف هو الشرعي، أما التعريف اللغوي الذي وقع فيه المرجعة خالف فيه أهل السنة والجماعة، فأخذ بقوله تعالى في تعريف الإيمان وما أنت بمؤمن لنا ولو كنا صادقين، فعرف الإيمان لأنه التصديق. ومن وقعوا في ورطة عظيمة فحرفوا هذا، فحرفوا الكلم عن المواضع حيث ذكر الإيمان وصنف إلى هذا الذي ذكرنا والذي قال الله تعالى وما كان قول مدعى إيمانكم أي صلاتكم فسمى الصلاة في عمل الإيمان، فهذا يدل أنه لا ينفك العمل على الإيمان. نعم، ولا يشدنا أن نقول أنه شرط كمان، بل الإيمان منذ ما هو شرطه كمان ومنذ ما هو شرطه وجود. نعم، فالأعمال المستحبة هي شرط كمان، أما شرط وجود وإجزاء جنس العمل فلا بد أن يكون في الإيمان عمل جوارحي ولا يقتصر على العمل الباطن القلبي واللسان. ثم هذه الأركان التي ذكرها الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ليست هي كل الإيمان، وإنما أهم أركان الإيمان. ليست كل أركان وليست كل الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. نعم، هذا على سبيل الإجمال، لكن التفصيل هناك مثلا إيمان ب مثلا هناك نعم، هذا هو من جهة الإجماع الحق. والتفصيل في ذلك إذا قلت ما معنى تؤمن بألوهيته وربوبيته وبأسمائه وصفاته وبكل ما أخبر سبحانه وتعالى. نعم، إذا يصدق أن يقول هذا التعريف مجمل، فهذه أركان مجمل الإيمان، لكن يجب أن ندخل فيها التفصيل الذي يضمنه ذلك الإجمال. فإذا قلنا مثلا ما الإيمان بالله، تقول أن تؤمن بألوهيته وربوبيته بأسمائه وصفاته وكل ما أخبر في كتابه سبحانه وتعالى أو أنزل على رسوله من قضايا الغيب. نعم، من قضايا الغيب تؤمن بكل ما أنزل، فمن كفر بشيء مما أنزل سبحانه وتعالى فإنه حينئذ يكون قد كفر بالله. من كفر بوجوده فهو لم يؤمن بربوبيته سبحانه وتعالى ولم يؤمن بألوهيته ولا أسمائه وصفاته. وما يزيد وينقص قام ابن حجر إذا كان يزيد فهو ينقص. وبما أن يزيد وينقص قوله ويزيد الذين آمنوا إيمانا. نعم ويزداد الذين آمنوا إيمانا، فإذا كان الإيمان يزداد عندهم فهو قابل ليش؟ للنقص. إذا الإيمان يزيد وينقص وليس كما تقول المرجئة هو تصديق فقط غير قابل للزيادة النقصان، النقصان فيه كفر. كلا بل الإيمان يزيد فإيش؟ وينقص. نعم يزيد بالطاعة وينقص بالمعصية. انشراح قلب الإنسان بخرج صلاة التراويح هذا من إفساد الإيمان. بيقصد الرجل إذا خرج من مجلس غيبة مع نقص إيمانه فيزيد بالطاعة وينقص بإيش؟ وينقص بالمعصية. وحينئذ خالف الإيمان طائفتان، طائفة الخوارج فكفروا المؤمن إذا ارتكب كبيرة، والخوارج وفي مقابل المرجئة فقالوا ما دام فيه إيمان بلا إله إلا الله ما يضر معه معصية. نعم وأهل السنة وسط فقال المؤمن مؤمن بإيمانه كافر بإيش؟ فاسق بكبيرته. فممكن يجتمع حينئذ عندهم مع الإيمان فسق. أما الخوارج يقولون لا يمكن هذا، فإنه إذا كان مؤمن وارتكب كبيرة في الزنا فإنه يكفر ويأخذ بذلك من ملة الإسلام. وذلك من أقوى من أقوال الخوارج التكفير في الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله. معنى الحكم بغير ما أنزل الله كبيرة من كبائر داعش وكذلك القاعدة وكذلك خوارج العصر المنتمين لجماعة التكفير كلهم يقولون أنه إذا حكم الحاكم من الحاكم الشرعي بغير ما أنزل الله فهو كافر. ليش؟ يقولون أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال ومن لم يحكم ما أنزل الله فأولئك هم الكافرون. فلم يفهموا أن هذا فسق وجعلوا هذه الكبيرة وهي حكم غير ما أنزل الله نعم جعلوها كفر أكبر أخذا بهذه الآية التي فسرها عبد الله بن عباس ورد على هذا خالد من قبل في زمنهم وقبل أمير هؤلاء الناس فقال كفر بما كفر. إذا جحد الحاكم حكم الله وهو كافر، فإذا لم يجحد فهو فاسق. قال قرطبي وهذا إجماع الذي يخالف عن نبيه أحد ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنه. وذلك لم يكفر الصحابة ولم يكفر النجاشي مع كونه يحكم كان بغير ما انزل الله، بل من مات في النجاشي صلوا عليه كما في صحيح البخاري قال صلوا على اصحابه فقاموا فصلوا عليه. فلو ان النبي كان يرى النجاشي كافر وقد كان النجاشي يحكم غير ما انزل الله ما ايش؟ لما صلى عليه صلى الله عليه وسلم. فدل ان معنى قوله تعالى ومن لم يحكم ما انزل الله فهو كافرون وكفر دون كفر وليس كفر اكبر من خزي المريه كما تقول جماعة التكفير وجماعة داعش وجماعة القاعدة وغيرهم ممن خالف أهل السنة في هذه المسألة في هذا العصر وقبلها وقبلها من العصور المنقولها عن السلف أو الناقلة التي نقلت العلم عن السلف التي نقل بها العلم عن السلف رحمة الله عليهم. وإذا كان ذلك كذلك فإن مما يدل على بطلان منهم الخوارج في التكفير بالفسق ما رواه البخاري في صحيحه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أخرج من النار، يقول الله أخرج من النار من قال لا إله إلا الله وفي قلبه مثقال ذرة من إيمان. فما دخل النار إلا بكبيرة، أما السعار تكفر عند الموت. قال أن تجتنب الكبائر وتزول عنه لكفر عن سيئاتكم، فهذا يدل على أن دخل النار بكبيرة. ومع ذلك قال أخرج من النار من قال إلى الله في قلبه مثقال ذرة بالإيمان. فدل أن الفاسق لا يخلص في الميران. ومن الفسق الحكم غير ما أنزل الله، قال تعالى ومن يحكم غير ما أنزل الله ولا يكون الفاسقون. وحينئذ يتبين أن الحق هو مذهب أهل السنة الذين اعتدلوا في الإيمان فلم يكفر الفاسق ولم يبرئه من الإثم، بل هو تحت المشيئة إن شاء عذبه إن شاء غفر له. الخوارج يقولون لابد أن إيش؟ أن يعذبه في الآخرة فجعله مثل الكفار. والمعتزلة قالوا وظل منزلة بين منزلتين، وأما في الآخرة فهو كافر في النار مخلدا فيها أبدا. وأسعد الناس من أهل السنة الذين قالوا هو مؤمن بإيمانه فاسق بكبيرته، وهذا هو التعريف الحق لمعنى الإيمان. أسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفعنا وياكم سمعنا وما تعلمنا، والله أعلم. صلى الله عليه وسلم. والأسبوع القادم نقضي ذلك القدر إن شاء الله من التفصيلات. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله خيرا يا شيخ، بارك فيكم، جزاكم الله خيرا، زادكم، جزاكم الله خيرا.
حياكم الله. السلام عليكم.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بسم الله والحمد لله. So in this week, in this lesson, the Shaykh began to explain the second level of the religion, and that is Al-Iman. And Al-Iman is translated as faith, but it has a very specific meaning in Islam, as will come in the explanation. So the text that was read from the text of Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab's three principles is the level of Iman, and that is that Iman consists of more than 70 branches, or 60 odd branches. The highest of them is saying La ilaha illallah, which of course we mentioned means that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. And the lowest of them is moving a harmful object from the road. And modesty or shyness is a branch of Iman. And its pillars are six: that you believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the last day, and that you believe in Al-Qadr, or the divine predecree, both the good of it and the bad of it. And the proof for this, for these six pillars, is Allah's statement, لَيْسَ الْبِرْءُ أَن تُوَلُّوا وَجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ اتَّقَى مَنْ آمَنَ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. And that's the ayah in Surah Baqarah, where Allah, in the meaning, says birr, or righteousness, is not that you turn your faces towards the east and the west, but rather righteousness is for the one who believes in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets. And the proof of pre-decree or al-qadr is Allah saying, Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr. And that is in meaning in Surah Al-Qamar, verily, we have created all things with qadr, with a divine pre-decree ordained for it. So the Shaykh began by saying that after explaining Islam, the Imam, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, explained Iman. And he said that Iman and Islam are two forms of worship. But Islam, if it's mentioned alone in a text, then it means the apparent religion, like prayer and fasting and charity, and also entering into it is Iman. So if you have a proof, an evidence, and just Islam is mentioned by itself, then it means the whole religion, both the outward things and the actions like prayer and fasting and charity, and also the inward things which are related to belief and Iman, like faith in Allah, His books, His messengers, the last day and Al-Qadr. As well as believing in everything that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us about regarding the unseen, affairs of the unseen, like signs of the hour, life after death, and Allah's throne. So that is if it is. So if Iman is singled out in one text, Likewise, it refers to all of the religion. So, in the hadith of Jibreel, the same text here has, and this is one evidence, the hadith of Jibreel is one hadith, and so in this hadith, both Islam and Iman are mentioned in the same hadith. So, in this case, because the two things are mentioned in the same hadith, this means they each thing means a different thing to the other one. So Islam and Iman mean two separate things here, related obviously, but two separate things. So in this case, where the two words have come in the same text, Islam is the apparent religion, like praying and fasting and that sort of thing, and Iman is the inner belief and the inner faith. But we have the situation in the hadith of Wafd Qais in Sahih Bukhari, where Iman was mentioned in one text. Iman was mentioned without Islam. So there we have the word Iman mentioned alone. And it was explained that Iman is saying the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, and praying and paying zakah and some other things after that. So Ibn Rajab mentioned that these words, if they come together in the same text, then their meanings differ. But if they come alone, then their meanings are the same and enter into each other. So if you see Iman and Islam in the same hadith, in the same ayah, they're referring to two different things. Islam being the inward, outward actions, Iman being the inward actions. But if you see Islam by itself, it means all the religion, both outwards and inward actions. And you see Iman by itself, it means all the religion, both outwards and inward, or the inner actions of the heart. So the Sheikh said that Iman linguistically means to attest to something, and that's but its technical meaning, of course, in the religion we have things that have a linguistic meaning and a related but more specific, not technical meaning, but shar'i meaning, so a legislative meaning, and the meaning how the word is used in the religion of Islam. So the technical meaning, or the legislative or the shar'i meaning of Iman is speech on the tongue, attesting with the heart, and action with the limbs. That's three things there: speech on the tongue, attesting with the heart, and acting with the limbs. So there are, or these are, three pillars of Iman. So for example, it's not correct to define Iman and describe it as being just speech on the tongue and attesting in the heart. Rather, actions must be contained within the definition of Iman. And if someone takes actions out of the definition of Iman, then he will stop. This means that he's upon the way of a deviant group called the Murji'ah. And a section of them, or a group of an erroneous belief, a section of them referred to as the Murji'ah al-Fuqaha, or the Murji'ah of the jurists, or the jurists of the Murji'ah. Then they said that Iman, and they defined Iman to be speech and belief, i.e. They didn't mention action as part of the definition of Iman. So this belief differs from what we have in the hadith, and differs that you find the Ahl Sunnah, the Murji'ah, they haven't defined Iman according to the Sunnah and according to what Ahl Sunnah have agreed upon as a definition of Iman. Like Shafi'i said, Iman is speech and action. And in the hadith of Muslim, that Iman is 60-something, and in another narration, 70-something branches. Its highest branch is saying, so here is speech, saying, La ilaha illallah. Its lowest branch is to remove something from the street. Removing something from the street, of course, is an action of the limbs. And modesty or shyness is a branch of Iman. It's the last part of the hadith, and that is an action of the heart. So three things are mentioned in that hadith as being branches of iman. One of them is a statement on the tongue, one of them is an action of the heart, and one of them is action of the limbs. So the murji'a, these people who have an erroneous belief, as we mentioned before, they base their definition of iman on some ambiguous ahadith, what we are referring to, what are referred to in the Quran and referred to by the scholars as mutashabih, those hadith which can carry more than one meaning, or ambiguous hadith. So, for example, they look at the hadith that there will be people brought out of the fire who have never done any good. And of course, this hadith can carry many meanings. So it is from what is referred to as mutashabih. It is from those ambiguous hadith. Because it could mean that this person has not done anything good at all. Or it could be like the one who left his land for Tawbah, as you know, as the person in the well-known hadith, he wants to make Tawbah, he leaves his land. But the Sheikh mentioned that actually, this person who left his land, the action of leaving his land to make Tawbah and to repent is in itself an action. So, the Sheikh said that if we get a narration or a hadith which is ambiguous, then the way to deal with an ambiguous hadith is to get your unambiguous evidences and to view your ambiguous evidences in line with and make them agree with the unambiguous evidences. And so, from the unambiguous, clear evidences is the ijma', or the consensus of the salaf. And likewise, so they agreed on a particular definition of iman. And likewise, the hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam defined iman in Sahih Bukhari as iman being 60 or 70 something branches, and mentioning in there those three things: action and speech and belief. So these are the unambiguous hadith which make it clear that iman is has action within it. So that's the shar'i definition of iman: speech on the tongue, attestation of the heart, and action of the limbs. As for the murji'ah, then they use the linguistic definition of iman. We said before, linguistic meaning of iman is attesting to something. So they use the linguistic meaning, and thus they oppose Ahl Sunnah, and they oppose the belief of Ahl Sunnah. And so they used as an evidence for their definition of iman the statement of Allah in Surah Yusuf, where it is said, but you will never believe us even when we speak the truth. Believe there, in Arabic, is using the same root word, if you like, as iman. So now, belief, faith. So they use this as an evidence for what they defined iman to be, just to be simply attesting to something, or believing something to be true, or attesting to something to be true. So they took that ayah and they used it out of its place, used it not in its rightful place. But there's the ayah where Allah refers to the salah, those salawat, those prayers that were prayed in the direction of not the qibla that we have today, that Allah says in the Quran that Allah will not cause your iman to be lost about that salah. So Allah used the word iman in the ayah, and he was referring to salah. So Allah used iman as a word to refer to salah, so he named the action of praying iman in the ayah. So this indicates that action is not separated from iman. A point that comes here is the Sheikh mentioned the issue of what they call shart kamal, and that is that some people, they went to say that, okay, action is part of Iman, but it is a condition of, so you have three conditions of Iman. Speech is a condition of Iman, and belief, but then said the action is just a condition which completes Iman. It's not essential for, it's not a condition that's essential for one to have Iman. However, the Sheikh said, we don't say this. We don't say that action is, you know, generally shadd kamal. We don't say it is a condition to complete Iman. Rather, there's details. Some actions, yes, are actions which complete and perfect Iman. And some actions are wajib to have. So that those actions which complete the Iman are the mustahab, the recommended actions, the actions where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered things in a non-obliging way. The person is rewarded for doing it, but they're not punished if they leave it off. As for, the Sheikh said, actions as a whole, like actually having action, the person must have action. This having action generally is absolutely an obligation, an obligatory condition, as necessary for there to be Iman. So, the Sheikh explained that the pillars that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, those six pillars, this isn't all of what Iman is. Iman isn't just limited to believing in Allah, the angels, the messengers, the books, the last day, and the Qadr, but rather those things are the most important pillars. And as for the details, then there are details to this Iman. Like Sheikh said, that Iman is that you believe in Allah's lordship, in His names and attributes, in everything that Allah's informed us of. So the pillars are simply the summary of Iman, or general Iman, but one must have a detailed belief. A detailed belief, that there is a detailed Iman. So if someone asks you, what is Iman in Allah? Then of course it is that you believe in Allah, as in you believe in His existence. You believe in everything He's informed about in His book, and everything the Messenger said about the affairs of the unseen. So if someone was to disbelieve in His existence, then he's disbelieved in Allah completely. Or if someone's disbelieved in His lordship, but believed in the other aspects of believing in Allah, then he's also disbelieved. Likewise, the one who disbelieves in worshipping Allah alone and worships others besides Allah, but he doesn't deny any of the names or attributes, then this person's disbelieved by way of disbelieving in just part of that Iman. And the Sheikh said that Iman, and this is an important issue, Iman increases and decreases. It's of levels. It can go up and it can come down. And this is different to what the Murji'a say. The Murji'a, we said, the group with the erroneous belief, say that one's Iman cannot ever be deficient. They say that Iman doesn't have any deficiencies, can't be made deficient. But the Sheikh said the correct belief is that Iman increases with obedience and decreases with disobedience to Allah. So therefore, there are two groups as regards to Iman. First group, or two deviant groups if you like, the Khawarij. And what they did was, they said, or they do rather, because they still exist, they excommunicate, they call a believer a disbeliever. They take a person out of the fold of Islam purely on the basis that that person committed a major sin. And the Sheikh mentioned that the opposite group is the Murji'a, because they said that so long as someone says La ilaha illallah, then no matter what sins he does, that's not going to affect his Iman. But Ahl Sunnah, they are in the middle. saying that a believer believes by his iman and becomes a sinner due to his disobedience. So that means that it's possible for someone to have iman in his heart and also have some disobedience as well. As for the Khawarij, then they say and said that it's not possible that someone has in his heart both obedience and disobedience. Because they say if someone is a believer but does a major sin, then he disbelieves by that. Bismillah. And from the Khawarij are those who make takfir of those that rule by other than what Allah revealed. And we know that ruling by other than what Allah has revealed is a major sin. It's not a major disbelief. It's not disbelief, it's a major sin. So the group known as Daesh, or in English sometimes referred to as ISIS or ISIL, or Al-Qaeda, often pronounced in English as Al-Qaeda. These deviant groups is what they do. They say that a person is a disbeliever just because he committed a major sin. So these groups are the Khawarij of our time. Likewise, there's a group called Jama'a, al-Takfir, the group of Takfir. So these groups, they all said that if a ruler makes a judgment which is outside of the Quran and Sunnah, then he becomes a disbeliever because of that. And they said that due to the ayah in the Quran where Allah says, and whoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then he is one of the kafirun. So this act is in fact an act of disobedience, an act of fisq, and not an act of kufr, not an act of disbelief. But the Khawarij use this ayah to make it an act of, and to understand it to be an act of kufr. However, Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, Ibn Abbas explained this ayah and said it is kufr duna kufr, or a disbelief that is less than the major disbelief. And he said also that whoever rules by other than what Allah reveals and at the same time denies the rule of Allah, then he is a kafir. But whoever doesn't deny the rule of Allah, denies the rule of Allah being better and apparent and obligatory and true, then this person is a fasiq, is a sinner, not a disbeliever. So the Sheikh mentioned, Qurtubi says that this is ijma' or consensus, because no one differed with Ibn Abbas about that. And for this reason, the Sheikh said, the Sahaba, they didn't make takfir of Najashi. They didn't say that Najashi, who was the ruler, who was our ruler, was a disbeliever. And Najashi, he didn't rule by the Book of Allah. He ruled by other than what Allah had revealed. And the proof that they didn't make takfir of him, they didn't excommunicate him, is that when he died, they prayed the funeral prayer for him. And if he was a kafir, then they would never have prayed that funeral prayer for him. And so this shows that the ayah, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الْكَافِرُونَ, that whoever does not judge or rule by what Allah has revealed, he is from the disbelievers. This shows that it's kufr duna kufr, that it is a disbelief that is less than the major disbelief, and it is not kufr akbar, not the major disbelief that takes one out of the fold of religion, as the Jama'at al-Takfir say, and whoever else is from those groups of the Khawarij that say that. What shows the faulty and false belief of the Khawarij is what occurs in Sahih Bukhari, That will be said to remove from the fire whoever said La ilaha illallah and has in his heart just a grain of iman. So these people that are removed from the fire, they entered the fire due to a kabira, due to a major sin. And then they were removed from the fire because of that little tiny bit of, minuscule bit of iman that they had in their hearts. So this shows that the fasiq, the sinner, doesn't disbelieve but because of his sin. And so the true way is the way of Ahl Sunnah, is the way of the people of Sunnah, who do not make takfir the fasiq, and do not say that the believer is not harmed by his sins, but rather every single person is upon under the will of Allah. If Allah wills, if every single believer is upon the will of, is under the will of Allah, if Allah wills, He'll punish them, and if He wills, He'll forgive them. As for the Khawarij, they know. The Khawarij, they know. It's an absolute must that Allah punish those believers because of their sins in the Akhirah. As for the Mu'tazila, another group, they say that in this life he's in a level between two levels. He's neither a disbeliever nor is he a believer, so that they don't deal with him as a disbeliever in this life. But they say and affirm that in the afterlife, he's in the fire, staying in there forever. But the Ahl Sunnah say that the believer has belief due to his iman and becomes a disobedient one, a sinner, due to his disobedience. And so that's where the Sheikh ended and said that next week, or I think he said next week we'll take Al-Qadr. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.